will, please, and turn to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter number 2. Romans chapter 2. And now everybody settle down a little bit. Romans chapter 2. Once you find Romans 2, find verse number 19. Romans chapter 2, verse number 19. Romans chapter 2, verse 19. Stand with me, if you will, please. Romans chapter 2, verse number 19. The Bible says this, "And art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth of the law. Thou, therefore, which teachest another, teachest thou not thyself." The sermon tonight is a question: are you a baby? And let's pray. Father, bless us tonight. Bless us with thy presence. Lord, we have enjoyed the singing. We've enjoyed the day. We've enjoyed the fun, the skit. Now, help us, Father, that we might even enjoy the sermon as we are reminded of the importance of maturity in the Christian life. Bless us now. Bless the rest of the activity for the night. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there. It's mentioned here that someone is to be and is a teacher of babies. This said, though, why are you not teaching yourself? It then must be that the babysitter here almost sounds like the babysitter might need a babysitter. Almost sounds like the babysitter might be acting like a baby. But the Bible, throughout it, it talks about Christians and how they can be baby Christians. Of course, when somebody first gets born again, they're a baby Christian. But may I point out to you, babies don't stay babies forever. Mrs. Owens and I had four children, and of course they started out, I think they all, when they were born, were 6 pounds and some odd ounces, and but they started out very, very small, and they spent their first months anyway sucking their thumb. They wore sleepers with a hatchback for the purpose of garbage disposal. They cried a lot. They drooled a lot. That's where my kids learned to swim. They just laid around and they did nothing as much as they could for some time. They didn't care about anybody but themselves at first. They had to be taught not to be stingy and to share. All they wanted to do was to eat and play and sleep. They had to be corrected because they threw tantrums. They drug what they called their Mimi. I don't know. Our kids called their blanket their Mimi. And there are a lot of names for your blanket. It's your Blankie, it's your Mimi, and again, all sorts of names. So you all know, at my house to this day, Mrs. Owens and I, we share a love seat, and that's where we sit. And I have my own Mimi. When I sit in that chair, that's my Mimi. And the grandkids get a kick out of it because they'll come and grab my blanket and they want to go hide it and everything because that's Grandpa's Mimi. But I have one. Now, and all of you have watched children grow up. Wouldn't it be embarrassing to a parent if their 15-year-old was still in diapers? But what would happen if we went down to went to Walmart or Food Lion and we went to buy Pampers and it said on the label, good up to 135 pounds? You'd say, huh, I think something's getting out of hand here. Wonder if a 16-year-old still wore their little yellow duck jammies with feet in them. You'd say, that is crazy. You grow out of those things, and that's right. You know, it would be abnormal for a 180-pound adult to be sucking their thumb. That'd be abnormal. Why? Because we all know there is a growth process that we're to go through. And God, throughout the Bible, basically, over and over again, says, grow up. Grow up. Grow up. There was a problem in the church at Corinth. Paul writes to them, and this is what he says in 1 Corinthians 3:1. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." He said, I would have taught you some stronger things and maybe some deeper things or more powerful things. He said, but I couldn't because you were still behaving like a baby. You know, I hate the thought that God would have to be singing to us spiritual lullabies all the time. I think God expects, obviously, we get saved, we're young in the Lord, I understand that, but we shouldn't be still acting like a baby after years and years of being around the things of God. So, you know, this is the Twin Rivers Baptist Church. I'm the pastor. I'm not Mickey Mouse, and this is not a daycare center. And you're not an infant. There's not a person under the sound of my voice that's an infant. So there's some growth that is required and that God expects of us. Let me point out some things that babies do. And let's find out, and these are as simple as they could be, but let's find out, do we find ourselves acting like babies? For instance, babies, they just lay around. They'll lay in that bed. They'll lay in that bassinet. Can I recommend to all of you that you just don't spend your life just laying around? Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. You're to be assertive, aggressive. You're to get something done in life. You know, a baby, you can lay them down in one spot, and they will stay in that one spot. Are you just laying around in your Christian life? Are you still in that one spot where you were months ago, a year ago? Or are you growing? Are you just laying around in your marriage so you all understand you won't have a good marriage unless you work on it? You have to work on it and work at it if you're going to have a good marriage. In child rearing, you don't rear good children by just laying around. There's work involved. Are you just laying around in regard to the ministry that God's given you? Are you just laying around? Hey, an employer doesn't want employees that just come to work and just lay around. You have to apply yourself. In church services, you know, there are people, and I'm not talking to any one particular person, but let me tell you something. Everybody needs to use the altar sometimes. But there are people coming in here, they'll sit down, they'll sit there, they'll never move. They'll never move from that spot. They'll never use that altar. They'll never bow a knee. I wonder, you think you come to church just to sit here? There's more to it than that. Does somebody have to carry you everywhere you go? Sad thing if you're a grown adult, but there's always somebody else carrying you. You know, you're to carry your own weight. You're to learn to attend to yourself. And some of you men, let's not make it so your wife is carrying you spiritually. And some of you women, thank God for a spiritual husband, but you're going to have to carry your own weight. And young people, don't just lay there like a baby. You need to learn to be spiritual. You need to learn to get ready for church. You need to learn how to do what ought to be done when it ought to be done. But babies, they just lay around. I hope you're not a baby. Did you know this, number two? Babies need somebody to read to them. They need somebody to read to them. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13, the Lord said, till I come, give attendance to reading. Mrs. Owens, before any one of our four children were born, she would read the Bible to them while they were yet within her. She took her Bible and she read to those kids every day. And she said, I wanted my children from the time that they were conceived to hear the Bible every day of their life. And then, even after they came, my wife and I had devotions with our kids. We read the Bible with them every single day of their life. You could ask them. Every day we read the Bible with them. You say, why? Because we wanted them to learn to read, but at first we had to read to them. My mom, when we went off to Bible college, so we lived about 5 hours away from our hometown. My mom really wanted to read to the grandchildren, so she got an old cassette player. She got some little golden books. She got a little bell. And my mom would read a little golden book. And when she would turn the page, she would ring a bell. She would read the next page and ring a bell. She recorded that. She sent the tape player, the tape, the little golden book, to my children. And then when that package would come in the mail, my kids would sit down. We would turn that cassette player on. The kids would take the little golden book. All four of them would sit there. They'd open that little book up, and Grandma would say, we're going to read the book. She would read the page. She would ring the bell. They would turn the page. She would read the next page. She would ring the bell. They would watch, and they would turn the page. Every once in a while, she would say, Jeffrey, sit still. Don't pull your sister's hair. And it was delightful. They loved it. She read to them. Now, folks, let me explain something to you. My children do not need Grandma to ring the bell and tell them when to turn the page anymore they've been taught how to read. They are therefore supposed to be reading their Bible without mommy. You know, there are people in this room, the only time you hear the Bible read is when I read it to you in this building, or somebody reads it to you when you're in a Sunday school class. It's time to grow up. You ought to read the Bible for yourself. Do you read your Bible for yourself? Have you grown up yet? You see, a baby, they'll just lay around. They won't move forward. They just lay around. A baby needs somebody to read to them. Thirdly, babies need someone to dress them. You know, you have to dress an infant. If not, they won't get dressed. And mothers, just so you know, little boys don't like bells on their shoes. Little boys hate bells on their shoes. Little boys try to bite bells off their shoes and spit them out and stomp them. For some reason, though, you've got to dress an infant. So for some reason, yeah, hey, little boys, you know how they are. They don't want to change their dirty clothes. They want to keep wearing those socks and wearing those clothes, and they don't see any reason why they ought to change. And and children, they will wear things that don't match. They'll have on striped pants and polka dotted shirt. Their socks won't match. They might not even wear two socks at one time. But they ought to. Children have to learn how to dress. They'll go to button their shirt, and you know what? They'll button it up crooked. There'll be a couple extra buttonholes at the top and a couple extra buttons at the bottom. They will, they'll put their underclothes on inside out, backwards. Doesn't matter to them. You say, well, how about the tag? I want to be able to read it while I wore it. You know, that's why the tag's in the front here. And if you're not careful, children, they'll take it off. I was out soul winning one day at a mobile home park. I looked up and I seen some little fella just racing through the mobile home park and his mom running behind him, and he didn't have anything on. Ain't no wonder his mom was chasing him. He didn't give any thought to it. Just a little guy. Hey, but let me tell you something. You, as a Christian, ought to be growing up. I don't think it's right for Christians to be stripping down to nothing in life. I think there's a propriety and a modesty that you ought to practice. And I'll tell you this. I don't think God requires you to wear a three-piece suit to church, but I am going to tell you this. God deserves your best. He deserves your best. Bella said to me one day, he said, all I've got is this T-shirt. I said, then wear the best T-shirt you have to church, because God deserves your best. Yeah, they used to have a term called Sunday go-to-meeting clothes. And that's where somebody decided, you know, I'm going to church, I'm going to meet with God. It seems like I would at least want to be appropriate and modest and clean. But babies, you see, they need help being dressed. Some of you young people, though, you say, well, my mom and dad don't come to church. Well, you can still get yourself cleaned up and come to church, comb your hair, make yourself look decent. You don't need, when you're your age, you teenagers, your mommy doesn't need to hold your hand anymore. You can do that. You can get ready for church and come to church and attend to yourself. And again, I'm not talking down to somebody that doesn't have something nice. I'm talking to everybody that they ought to give God the best that they have. Did you know babies, they don't bathe themselves? That they have little baby bathtubs, and they have rubber duckies. You know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, it says, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I know some moms, they give their children a bath in the kitchen sink. Seems like that'd be a little cold. That's a tough place to set. But you put a child in a bathtub and leave them alone, there'll be more water on the floor than what there will be in that tub when they're done. You give a child a chance at one whole 16-ounce bottle of shampoo, they can use the whole thing to wash their hair at one time, because they're getting extra clean, I'm sure. They won't wash between their toes. They won't wash their hair right. They won't wash behind their ears. They won't use soap if they don't have to. I can't believe it. My parents, it was time for us to bathe. We'd come out of the shower, and my mother would say, did you take a shower? Yes, ma'am. Did you use soap? Did you use soap? She asked me. She had the audacity to ask if I used soap. You say, what'd you say? I lied and said, yes. What's the big challenge about using the soap? I know young people, you tell them to go take a bath or a shower, they'll turn the water on to make it sound like they're in there. And they don't even get in there. You know why? They don't care about being clean. Ah, they're not concerned about that. Hey, let me ask you something. Are you cleaning up your own life, Christian? Or does somebody have to do all the bathing, if you will? You ought to be cleaner today in regard to your music than what you used to be. And you ought to be cleaner today in regard to your associations than what you used to be. You ought to be cleaner today in regard to your thoughts than what you used to be. You ought to be cleaner today than what you used to be in regard to your language. Why? We're growing up. We're growing up. And just so you know, it doesn't always have to be the preacher to say to you, you ought to stop talking that way. Hey, you ought to be able to tell yourself to stop talking that way. That is if you know how to read and you're reading your Bible. Because your Bible is going to tell you to watch your tongue and to watch what you say. You know what? This is what it feels like sometimes to be a pastor. Brother Ellswick, you ever feel this way as a youth pastor? Hey, some of you that are employers, it's what it feels like sometimes, huh? What in the world has happened to the maturity of the people in the United States of America? And especially the Christians in the United States of America. You know, when I was a kid, I really didn't want to be babied all the time. When I was 9, I wanted to be 10. When I was 10, I wanted to be 11. You ask me, how old are you? I'd say, I'm 11 and a half going on 12. You know why? I wanted to grow up. Today, there are people more than satisfied just to lay there, let people do things for them, let people cater to them, stay dirty, stay unsuccessful, stay in one spot, and just be lazy and be satisfied. You're not supposed to be a baby. That's what babies do. Babies don't bathe themselves. Hey, you know that babies don't finish what they start. Thank God the scripture says Jesus was able to say, it is finished. Paul was able to say, I ran my course. I did what I was supposed to do. You give, and there are a lot of Sunday school teachers in here, and we give out color sheets in a lot of the Sunday school classes. You know, you can give them a color sheet and a crayon, and you'll find that most of them never finish their picture. They never finish their picture. But that's what they start out that way, and they've got to be taught color the whole thing, finish the picture. They don't want to clean their plate. They don't want to. Hey, they love starting in the bed, but finishing is making the bed when you're done with the bed. I can remember the first time my dad let me mow the yard and walked off and left me. I turned it into yard art. I thought it was really cool. I was cutting these passageways and everything, and I come home and, you know, there's grass sticking up everywhere. But the picture that I drew with the mower was really cool. My dad didn't agree. He said, son, you always tell me you don't want to be treated like a baby. Can you please come to the backyard? I said, it's cool, ain't it, Dad? It wasn't cool. Look, babies don't finish what they start. Folks, finish your marriage. Finish paying your bills. Finish, don't run. Finish with the Lord. Finish. Finish for God. You know, babies have to be told over and over again the very same thing. And thank God that you see the word, God says, I come to you again. He says it over and over and over again in the scripture. Repetition is a part of training. But the Bible says in Ephesians 4:15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things. It's not supposed to be that there's somebody always coddling you. And you know, babies, you got to tell them the same thing over and over and over again. Children, over and over and over again. I mean, I wonder how many parents have said this. If I got to tell you one more time, that's after you've told them one more time so many times that you can't figure out what the next number is. Hey, Christian, there are people in this room, you are still struggling with the very same thing you were struggling with last week, the week before that, the week before that. There are some of you that are struggling in a major way with the same thing, and you've been struggling with it for 25 years. Don't you think it's time to conquer some of those things and really get down to it and fix them? Are there areas where you need to grow up? Apply yourself. Conquer some things in your life. Hey, did you know babies will whine? They will pout and cry around. This baby's got crossed eyes. Babies, they will whine and pout. The Bible speaks in 1 Corinthians 10:10. It uses the term murmur. It says, neither murmur ye. You say, what does the word murmur there mean? It means grumble or gripe. I'll tell you what. Babies will cry to get attention. Babies will cry. They will mess on themselves and cry about it. They will cry just to cry. They will pout. They will stick their lower lip out and just pout around. They will fold their arms and turn away and throw a fit. I'll just tell you all something. I can't stand a whiny boy. I can't stand a whiny boy. Hope to God we never go to a big war with the whiny baby boys that we have in our country today. That's kind of scary. I mean, when grown boys are still throwing little baby fits, it's kind of scary. But listen, are you a griper and a complainer and a whiner? Did you know that whining won't fix anything? We ought to grow up. Babies will throw temper tantrums. You know, we call it the terrible twos. Now, that is really expanded in these days and age. It's not only the terrible twos, it's the terrible threes and fours and twenties. You throw a temper tantrum? I can't remember. Probably it was last year, mid-year. I watched a mom. It was at the Piggly Wiggly. And when I was there, I watched a child throw themselves on the floor, and that child was just flailing, arms and legs and screaming and yelling. And the mother was standing there saying, stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. And I'm thinking somebody ought to do some spanking here. You say, who? The mother needs a spanking. I couldn't believe it. Just throwing a fit. Listen, you say, what would have you done? But she probably should have just walked away or stood there and let the kid embarrass himself. We would have talked later. But you know, there's some of you, you're still throwing fits on a regular basis. Still throwing a fit. The Bible says that we are not to be people of wrath. The Bible says a soft answer turneth away wrath. But grievous words stir up anger. Be careful now. That's how babies act. You know, babies, they don't feed themselves. James 6:35, Jesus, he said, I'm the bread of life. We ought to be growing, and there's a feeding that we ought to go through. Babies are bottle fed. Moms, there are all sorts of things that moms do to get a baby to eat. Mama will stick the spoon in that Gerber baby food, and she'll play airplane. You've seen it. All right, here's the airplane. Let's land. Bring her in. And they bring it into a hangar. You never land a plane in a hangar, just so you know. Ladies, if you ever get a plane, I'd put her on the runway, not in the hangar. Well, open up, I'm bringing a plane in. Stunt driver here, you know. And we try to get that baby, that food in the mouth, and then the baby spits it all out. Moms will try to camouflage lumpy oatmeal with raisins or blueberries, chocolate chips or glitter. They'll do anything to get that kid to eat that stuff. What are we doing? We're trying to talk that child into eating. We've got to feed that child. Now, Mrs. Owens, she, growing up, she'd eat sticks of butter. That's why she's such a slick chick. But that kids will eat things. They'll eat the wildest, strangest things. And they don't do it right. Kids will eat worms and dog food. We had a kid on our block. His name was Darren Bush. And for 25 cents, he would eat a Milk-Bone dog biscuit. Boy, we'd all get together. You can tell how I was in a gang. We'd all get together and watch Darren eat dog biscuits. But dumb. Kids will eat green apples and drink chemicals they ought not be drinking. You know, hey, get this. A child is taught not to pick their nose. And as strange as it may seem, they'll go ahead and pick it. After they pick it, they'll hand what they picked to their mother. I don't know why. It must be natural. And you say, is that strange? No, that's not the strangest thing, because a mother will take it. Do you know kids will eat things? We have to feed them. You have to baby them. Folks, let me tell you something. As a Christian, You can't be spoon-fed all the time. You know, you need to get some books written by the right kind of authors and read about the things of God. And especially, do you need to read your Bible? And I go back to this, there's some people in here, the only Bible you're hearing is what is being fed to you. And I just want you to know there's more Bible than what will ever get preached from this pulpit or taught in these Sunday school classes. And might I warn you, a baby will eat something that's bad for them. Folks, be careful all the junk that you watch on television. Just because somebody mentions Jesus every once in a while doesn't mean that's good eating. Babies will eat things that they ought not be eating. You know, I noticed this. I noticed that babies, we want to keep them in view, plain sight of parents. You got to keep an eye on a toddler. Why? They'll run right out into the street. A toddler will stick their finger in a socket, electrical socket. They'll do that. Hey, does God have to keep an eye on you all the time because you're just going to do something stupid? I realize the Bible says the eyes of the Lord go to and fro throughout all the earth. I realize that. But you know one of the reasons why God keeps an eye on us? I think He has to. There's no telling what we'll do next. Folks, it ought to be that God didn't have to just keep the eagle eye on us constantly because of our behavior. That, you know, when you're out of the sight of, okay, let's put it this way. When you're out of the sight of the church or out of the sight of the pastor, how do you behave? In the privacy of your home or at work? Would you be okay if I were with you in regard to every joke that you laugh at and go along with at work? Or would you say, hey, don't talk like that. My pastor's here. Well, I tell you, I got news for you. Somebody more important than your pastor is here. God is here. In the privacy of your mind, what you listen to, what you hear. Hey, what you put on Facebook. The American public have gone stupid crazy. They will say things now publicly on the internet that are ridiculous. Why would anybody put nasty pictures of themselves out where everybody could see it? Why would anybody say and talk and do some of the things that they do? It just breaks my heart that people are that way. God has to just keep an eye on us all the time. You know, that's exactly what we do with a baby. We keep an eye on a baby. Why? You just don't know how they're going to act. Folks, let's not be babies. Listen to this scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:1 says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." It is said, someone said, I can't really give you everything you need because you act so much and behave so much like a baby, it would virtually be wasting the food because we're still babying you. Hebrews 5:12 says, For the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. You give a baby milk. You baby that baby. You give it milk. You can't give it meat. It would choke. You know, folks, let's make it so that when the Word of God's being presented, that the only preaching that we can handle is not just milk. There'll come days as our church grows and we become stronger. The preaching's going to get a little more intense, a little more pointed. You're going to learn some more things about what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Don't be a baby about it. Don't say, I only come for the milk sermons. Oh, people like the humor. People like to be comforted. People like that sort of thing. But you know what? One of the preacher's jobs, he's supposed to preach to us and tell us the difference between right and wrong and remind us of the judgment of God and everything that goes along with it. Don't be the kind of Christian that can only take the milk. Be the kind of Christian when the meat is doled out, you're a big boy, you're a big girl, you can take it and let it help you. Are you a baby? Let's not be a baby in our Christianity. Hey, listen, there are some newer Christians here. I'm not saying everybody is to be a full-blown, fully mature Christian. I don't think that. I think everybody here is at a different place in their Christianity. But you know, there are some of you, you've been around the right kind of church for a long time. And it's probably time to grow up a little bit. Because you still haven't grown like you should past some things, and there ought to be some things that ought to be added to your life by now. You can't stay a baby forever. Let's keep growing in the Lord. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, we welcome you to the Savior. But if you say, I'm born again, then I want to challenge you not to be a baby in your life. Make sure that you read to yourself. Make sure you don't just lay around in your Christianity. Make sure that you keep yourself clean. Bathe yourself spiritually. Finish what you start. Don't whine and gripe and murmur and pout like a baby would. Feed yourself. Make yourself stronger. Don't make it so it's like God has to keep an eye on you, wondering what you're going to be up to next. And give God your heart. Let's not be babies. Who here would say, Preacher, God has spoken to my heart tonight. I want God to see my hand. I want him to know I don't want to be a baby, and I'll apply the sermon in some way to my life, and you'll raise your hand to signify it. God bless you. And we're going to have a time of altar call. The pianist is going to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. And if you need a moment at the altar, you come. Teenager, let's not be a baby. Children, there are no infants in here. There are no babies under the sound of my voice. We put the babies back in the nursery. But let's make sure we live with some maturity. Let's grow up a little bit. And I'm not saying we're taking all the fun out of the Christian life. We've had fun tonight. We've sang and we've had a skit and we've laughed. And we're getting ready to go have some more fun in ice cream and fellowship. But in the Christian life, you're not supposed to stay a baby. Scripture after scripture after scripture, we're reminded of the lack of maturity and the importance of growing. An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, it says. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Let's grow in the Lord. A year from now, you ought to be a far better Christian and a different person than what you are now. Some of you have been so sensitive, you are offended so easily, it's pathetic. And you've been that way a long time. Shouldn't you be growing past some of that by now? Shouldn't you have toughened up a little bit by now? Growth in the Christian life. Let's not be babies. This is the last time through the song. We'll pray. I'll give you some instruction for the banana splits and we'll go.